Norman Stories, written by Norman and read by Norman. I'd always enjoyed listening to music, any sort, but I think my preference would be jazz or classical. Though my first love used to be opera. I lost a lot of girlfriends because of that when I told them that I was taking them to the opera. My parents, or foster parents, were not the least bit interested in music, or reading for that matter. There were never any books in the house, and we were never read to as children. In my parents' house, it was only newspapers twice a day. I don't think education was very important to them, only bringing in a wage packet, as it had been for their parents. Our education would have been disrupted anyway because of the war. As soon as school holidays started, we worked on the farms, taking the place of the men who were away. Hiling, harvesting, potato picking were our main jobs. Often our holidays were extended if we hadn't finished the work or brought in the harvest. I call my next story Classical Music. You always knew when tea would be ready by the unmistakable hum of Mr. Windsor's motorbike as it wound its way through the valley on the narrow Codford Road. It had become part of the everyday noises that you heard on the Wiltshire Downs. Rooks and jackdaws high up in the trees, winds blowing through the beaches, peewits that followed the ploughs, skylarks. And because this was the Second World War, there was always the rumbling of guns from the nearby firing range, tanks rattling and squeaking through the narrow village streets, and always a fighter or a bomber droning overhead. We would always know what time to start listening, and our games would come to an abrupt end as we rushed back to the cottage. If we reached the house before Mr. Windsor, we would stand and watch as he stiffly got off his motorbike, lovingly covering it in the woodshed, slowly taking off his long leather gloves that seemed to fly up his sleeves. His leather flying helmet and goggles would be next, but his ex-army flying suit would have to wait until he was in the cottage. One day, he arrived with a rare passenger. As we were expecting him, we'd been told to put on our best clothes, and the house had been especially cleaned. Strangely, it was a German prisoner of war who'd been assigned to work on our foster father's farm. He was to work as a carpenter. When we were first told that our visitor was going to be a German, we couldn't believe it or understand it. To us, the Germans represented everything that was bad. Our enemy. Something to hate. Didn't my mother, on one of her rare occasions she came to visit, scream at me, "Never let me see you ever do that again," when in my innocence I returned the wave of a German prisoner of war? Didn't I see hate in her eyes? All Germans were responsible for the death of her 19-year-old son, she seemed to be saying. But our German was certainly nothing to fear. He was short, dark, squat, and extremely shy and polite. After he'd handed over his small present to Mrs. Windsor, he sat awkwardly out of place in the tiny sitting room. In his broken English, he praised the Windsor's garden. A mass of flowers at the front, and the huge vegetable garden that spread out in the back. The German's visit had come about, apparently, when Mr. Windsor had mentioned that his son Billy was practising the violin. The man immediately had shown an interest. He was a violinist, he said. So he'd been put in Mr. Windsor's care and given permission to come and visit. After tea, he was led into the small front room, where we heard him patiently tuning Billy's violin. Then, the deepest, richest, and most beautiful sound I'd ever heard came quietly, softly, and almost silently through the latched wooden door. We listened, not daring to move or speak, as it had taken away from us all our prejudices. The suffering of the war had suddenly become universal. As the dusk became night, time seemed endless. We just sat there, not knowing or understanding, unable to move even to light the oil lamp. Eventually he stopped. We heard him packing away Billy's violin. He came out smiling, looking down at the ground, and slowly handed the violin back to Billy. "Very good violin," he whispered. And from his eyes, we could see that he'd been crying. We all ate our cheese and pickles in silence that night.